got my back against a brick wall, trapped in a circle, boxing with the fools till my knuckles turn purple. Welcome, bienvenue, à un autre épisode of Shut Up Podcast. I am your host, B Black, aka Mr. ShutUpPodcast.com, aka Le Grand Papa B, aka Gaston Lucien Lebanon.
That boy is good.
Today's episode, pardon me, is being recorded on unceded Anishinaabe, Algonquin territory on this day, August 3rd, 2025, during Caravana weekend. Shit, here's hoping that didn't hurt your eardrums. Today's episode is also rated R and F. The F is for fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff, record label as a motherfucking crew. And if you want to be down with Whitey, then fuck you too. This podcast was never meant for you. Hey, before we get this party started, I am going to send a shout out to all you listeners paying attention. And just specifically your returning listeners. And I'm going to ask you a quick favor, and that's to applaud yourself. Yeah, because if you're part of my target demographic, then you're likely like me and you need to be reminded or coerced into doing something nice for yourself. And if this is your first time listening to this podcast, welcome. Yay! Here's hoping I say something on this episode that allows us to make history. Alright, if I'm a little, if I sound a little distracted, it's because I'm cooking and cleaning. I'm messing with the levels as I'm speaking to you, behind the scenes shit. And I think, you know what, I might need to hire a producer. Where was I? Yeah, shutuppodcast.com is the website, then shutuppodcast411@gmail.com is the email address. I want to remind you that this podcast that you're listening to right now is a safe space for my thoughts, and they're protected by the red, the black, and the green, with the red, black, and the red, blue. In today's episode, that last part was my way of saying, hey, reminding you that you're the one who hit the play button. In today's episode, titled 288, actually, I'm not sure what today's title is going to be, but I know where the today's feature thought is. I'm going to be talking about this complicated letter I have to write. What makes it complicated is the feelings behind it, but I will elaborate in the feature thought. But before I do that, let's share some quotes and a bit of randomness. Today's episode, I got, five, all right? So bear with me. First one goes, someone who loves you won't put you in a situation where you have to choose between love or self-love. Second one, just remember that whatever you put up with, you end up with. That's so going to relate to today's feature thought. Saying how you feel will never ruin a true connection. And the author's unknown. Yeah, if I don't mention the author's because I don't have the author's name, but if you want, the links are in the show notes. You can check them out yourselves. And if you know the author, you know, email them to me. The fourth one goes, the guilt you feel for setting boundaries is a sign of how deeply you were trained to abandon yourself. Damn! Shout out to Talal Macy for sharing this one. He's not the author, but Talal Macy, the poet, he tends to share this stuff on his social media timelines. Last quote goes, may I find the courage to disappoint people who expect me to be small. Also relates to the final thought. And this one is shout out to Diary of a People Pleaser. The name is Michelle Mitchell C. Clark. That's a Mitchell, right? Two L's? Yeah. Or is that Michelle? Whatever, man. Goddamn English language. And yeah, that's it, gang. That's it for quotes. Now let's jump into some randomness.
So you're a philosopher?
Hello, my ding, ding, ding. First item on the list is, I label this one, Sydney Sweeney, American Eagles, and these goddamn Yakubian Devils. Who's, Jakub? Let me, so for anyone who's read the autobiography of Malcolm X, there's a portion where after Malcolm X, Michael Leno at the time converts to Islam. She shared the tale of Jakub. Jakub is essentially the father of white people. He's the, in this storyline, he's the, I gotta stop laughing at my own joke. He's the, you gotta read the story, but essentially back in the days, based on this story, black people had advanced society and Jakub was the scientist with a big ass forehead, and he and from black people he from black people's genes he bleached. I forget the story, man. It's been a while since I read the book, but I think he bleached our genes and then created white people. I don't know, man. That's the folklore, the lore, whatever the fuck you want to call it, man. But it's, but I remember reading that story and being like, hey, you know what? Fuck it. If that's what it takes for me to unlearn this white supremacy shit, I'm all on board. But that's not the point. My point is, the reason I'm bringing it up is because I remember my friend read Malcolm X's book before me. And when he got to that portion of the story, it blew his mind. And then he came to school and explained it to us. And then he took the genes, and then the genes this, and then he split it in half. And then he, because the genes is recessive, using big words. And the whole time he's speaking, I'm thinking, Levi's? Black man invented Levi's? 501? What the fuck? Okay, here's where I'm going with this is, Sydney Sweeney's new commercial for American Apparel. Everyone's talking about it. And first, I'm going to say shout out to the white people who are calling on it, who are calling it out, as opposed to putting you guys in a situation where you got to say, hey, that's fucked up what y'all doing there. But we're living in a time where white people are enlightened and they see the bullshit. Like the link between that and eugenics. But I guess I'm saying it just made me laugh watching that commercial. After I was able to stop myself from focusing on Sydney Sweeney's jugs, which I believe was intentional, I was like, damn, this is some big ass jugs. So hey, this is some racist shit. Anyways, where I was going with this is the whole time she was talking about jeans. It was reminding me of the first time I heard about Jakub? Fuck it, Jakub. I'm gonna go Jakub, and genes. I feel like it was probably my introduction to biology at the same time. But it makes me laugh. It just makes me laugh on how I so this commercial took me back to the. Back to those days. I was in high school when this happened. And, but one thing I am going to say, two things I will bring up is, that's how these Yakubian devils do, man. It's always double speak with these people. They always speak at a frequency, at a language that the rest of us understand and other white people are just clueless and are just like, what racism? And that's modern day racism now. It's speak, expose it at a level, at a frequency that the crew, the people who are part of your crew understand it. And people like me are like, hey, what the fuck? we back on this eugenics shit? I thought we abandoned that. Anyway, whatever, man. But I heard that Sydney Sweeney went online and she went crying about how like, my words hurt or whatever. I guess she didn't. Whatever. Look, in my mind, I have no idea. Well, except for pissing me off or getting attention. But what America Apparel's were thinking. But I do know. I do not doubt for a fact that they were not prepared for this backlash. And if they do apologize, that was all part of the plan. But unless they're really that ignorant. Because that's how these Jacobian devils do, man. They say some racist shit, say or do some racist shit. And then when you call them on it, the first instinct is, I did not know. Or, no, it wasn't meant that way. Rinse, repeat. I'm just so used to that bullshit. So that's why I'm using the term Jacobian devils. Sorry, I just realized that, the kind of audience I might attract by that kind of language. With all that said, I was talking about how Sydney Sweeney did some video, and I'm not going to just target it, but I am going to target all these people who are like, it's not that deep. To them, I send them,
shut your mouth, cave bitch!
I love the fact that I could use this quote because cave bitch is, the idea is, I don't know at what point is that how white people, after Yakub created white people, they ended up in the caves, some shit like that. Whatever, man, the fucking lore, man. I didn't write the story. Don't shoot the messenger. Take it up with the Nation of Islam or whatever the fuck.
So you're a philosopher?
All right. I, along that same line, so a quick this is a segue now, is along that same line is I was remembering Yakub reminded me of my time in high school when I was young, dumb, and full of cub. And just young, dumb, period. And I went to a high school, and you know what? All us kids found our separate lanes. Black kids got into hip hop, Black American music, and absorbed that shit. You know, I there was a time where I convinced myself that I was from Brooklyn. I wasn't. But my point is, we all sponged off the identity of Black Americans because of, our favorite rappers. And white kids, some became preps, some became, there was a percentage of my classmates, kids that I knew, who like sponged off this whole white supremacy shit. Now, I don't know what the fuck they were thinking, but it was enough for me that when some of them would write some of the literature or some of the talking points, whether it be under, self-express themselves with it, right? And it sounded innocent. Like, it would be, like, equivalent to, yes, my genes is shit like that. My genes this or whatever. It was enough for me to be like, remember, these are classmates. And it was enough for me to be like, I know what you just wrote, dude, but I don't think you understand what you just wrote. And what I'm getting by that is because they were classmates, so I saw their humanity. And I'm like, yo, we're not friends, but I know that you don't mean what you just wrote. And maybe I was naive, whatever, right? But I guess it's like my way of saying that back then, I was, it was easier for me to believe in the innocent of the of the white kid who was just not aware that. Hey, you want some watermelon? Was not aware. Oh, I didn't know that was racist. Oh, I didn't know it was racist to use the word coon around you. Coon, whatever. You know what I mean? It's anyway. So I found myself reminiscing on those days. And the only reason I bring it up, I'm thinking about that and Trump being in the White House, and found myself thinking that I'm old enough to have seen that video of Geraldo. That episode where he had some skinheads on his show and he got in a fight. And I found myself thinking that, yo, it's a good day to be a lowly white man. a lowly white person. I mean, like, I was thinking about whatever happened to those skinheads. I looked it up. One of them is dead. But I'm thinking of, I remember how those people were on Geraldo being booed by the crowd for their racism. And today, they must be living their best lives. They went from being booed on Geraldo to being represented in the White House. Because that Trump guy is, oh my God. He just, it's like when you're convinced it can't get any worse. I just read some headline about how his name shows up on multiple Epstein files, how he's going around claiming victory. Hey, I solved world hunger and or bullshit. I brought peace to the Middle East. So whatever. He's going around making, look, man, if there ever was the least qualified human being to be in the White House, I mean, from the perspective of no professionalism, it's, all I'm saying is the lowliest white man has nothing to complain about. They're still going to complain, but I'm going to say like this, I feel like they're, I understand these people can't be happy, but if they had the ability to be happy, they would be putting an entry in their gratitude journal about, God damn, Trump is my nigga. I don't know how white people say, call each other. Oh, he's my dude. He's my guy. He's Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ returned. But yeah, I know. You know what? This is just supposed to be a quick thought about it. But if you're wondering why I'm using the word lowest white man, is because I'm thinking of that Lyndon B. Johnson quote that goes, if you can convince the lowest white man, that's what I mean by that, the lowest white man that he's better than the colored man, he won't notice you're picking his pocket. He'll give him somebody to look down on and he'll empty his pocket for you. I believe that was the whole recipe of success for Trump. Don't talk to me about the good Trump supporters or the Trump supporters who got caught off guard. Nah, man. Yo, Trump showed up on the scene, reused the same scam that's been used on white people since the first slave ship, since 1492, and got himself in the White House a second time. But that's not what I'm coming to. That's what I came to talk about. I'm just saying these people, but they're like pig and shit, literally, because they're pork. The white man is pork.
And the white man is pork.
So they're living pig and shit with Trump in the White House.
So you're a philosopher?
All right, okay. Then I'm gonna start with this clip and then share my thoughts. And essentially, we're gonna revisit the notion of hurt people. By the way, this also relates to today's final thought.
Hey, just so we're clear, it's not always hurt people who hurt people. It's also people who haven't been through much, okay? Who haven't faced consequences for their actions or their character that are hurting people so freely. I know we hear that cliche a lot, that hurt people, and there's kind of a flaw in there, because sometimes it's the people who've been through the absolute most and the absolute worst who are making sure that they show up properly in other people's lives, okay? Because they know what the other side of that feels like. And then you have people who haven't been through much. They haven't experienced any kind of struggle, challenges, pain, strife, loss, okay, responsibility. And they feel so entitled to move through the world without consequence. So they don't really have any remorse about how they're treating other people. And to double down, they find other people who will reinforce their behavior and how they move. All right, so let's be clear. Sometimes hurt people heal too. Themselves and others. And it's the people who haven't had to heal through much of anything that are willing to hurt others so freely. It's just information.
Wow. This, what he said, oh, you know what? The person's name, I found them on Instagram. Links are in the show notes. You can click on their profile. But his name is Isaiah Frizzle. And he is a Helping People Heal Out Loud Mental Health Coaching Podcast here to remind you you're not broken. Too late. That's what my therapist said. Maybe I should go into coaching. I'm trying to find my lane with this podcast. I don't see myself as a coach. But the way he just shared that. Yeah, there's got to be a line. I don't see myself as a coach, but I don't see myself as a therapist. So what the fuck am I doing? All right. So where was I focused? I remember having a similar thought about hurt people, not hurting people. Okay, this might be a bit of not stretch, but the first thought that came to mind is the realization this one time. I was in Haiti back in, can't remember the year. I believe it was before the earthquake. It doesn't matter. I was in Haiti for an uncle's funeral, and I was in a spot, city, village, whatever area called Wanamet, and it's near the border, and I went there, flew to Haiti with the mindset, exposed to white television, and it's like poor this, poor that. I mean, despite the fact that I have parents from there who tell me what it's like. But I remember just watching a bunch of kids playing out in the yard and doing their thing. And my uncle, I should mention, he's a pastor. The whole family's filled with, he was a pastor. I remember watching those kids playing and thinking about, wait a minute. These kids don't have much and having a great time. Or these kids are having much and they're not selling drugs. They're not doing the shit that my favorite rapper talks about because they're from poverty. My point is, I didn't know it at the time, but it was my realization that I didn't realize it, but I was revisiting the idea of hurt people. Like that's all they do. And him pointing out that, no. Okay, I'm going to say it in my own words. Maybe hurt people do hurt people, but they heal. I think that's the important part. The biggest reason I'm bringing this up is because some hurt people also weaponize their pain towards others. And that's their excuse. So that's pretty much why I was sharing it. So I thought it was powerful, man. Again, so I'm not sure if I said his name, Isaiah Frizzle.
So you're a philosopher?
All right, gang, last item for randomness. And for this one, I'm not going to say shit. I'm just going to leave. This is going to just be a mic drop. And I labeled it under something Jinx Monsoon said on an episode of Z-Way.
Would J.K. Rowling make a good Roxy Hart in Chicago?
Who is this J.K.? Who is he? J.K. Rowling.
He's a she.
Oh, dear. That is not a feminine name in the slightest. You know, I know that oftentimes female authors use initials so that people assume it's a male writer. So I have to presume that J.K. Rowling was unsatisfied with the way that the world saw her, and then she transitioned herself into a new personality so that the world would perceive her the way she wanted to be perceived.
Gagging.
That deserves a... I don't like J.K. Rowling as a person, and fuck her books. And if you have to ask why, you know, I just Google it. But yeah, that's it, man. Mic drop. Yeah, that's it, gang. Let's jump into feature thought. But before we do that, all right, gang. Let's get this shit over with. Wait, what did I write this for? All right. Usamnu. All right, before I talk, I'm just going to start with this quote, this video clip that I felt is this video clip about mental health. I feel is so apropos.
No one really cares about your mental health until it turns into anger and frustration. And then suddenly you are a bad person. And then people judge you.
Powerful, huh? All right. Okay, let me start with what I wrote. It goes, I'm working on a letter. I can't really tell you what it's about. And I'll give you some hints. Or who it's for. I can't tell you what it's about or who it's for. All I can say is it involves putting my truth on paper, and that's never easy. What makes it harder is that I've been trained my whole life to keep the peace, especially with people who didn't always deserve it. And somewhere along the way, I learned to protect other people's feelings before my own. So this letter, it's not about revenge. It's not even about closure. It's about clarity. Because at some point, you have to stop caring what someone else dropped on you and start choosing yourself, even if the other person never understands it. I think I've mentioned it before, is some fuck shit happened at work, and now I'm in a situation where I need to put it down on paper and then pass it on to, you know, it's the kind of letter that's going to get thrown swept over the rug, but whatever, man, it doesn't matter. But my point is, it's severe enough for me to put shit down on paper. I say letter, but email, whatever, letter. I'm documenting shit and then passing it on to the powers that be and let them do what they need to do. But the biggest part, it's difficult for me to talk about it because you know, there's some legal implication in this shit. But there's also the other part is, one is, I take no fucking pleasure in doing this. It's not fun at all. Contrary to popular belief. I think of, when you think of those survivors who show up to court to face their abusers, none of that shit is easy. And the worst part about this system is how these defense lawyers, defense lawyers will take advantage of the person understand is not having an easy time. Like, it's their difficulty to recall and talk about the situation is the perpetrators, the person being prosecuted, it's their gain, it's their advantage. It's fucked up, man. This is me going back to, I hate this world. But whatever, it is what it is. Like I said, it's not easy putting shit down on paper, and it's bringing up a lot of feelings that I wish I didn't have to process, deal with. But it did have me, speaking of memory lane, yeah, no, at the beginning of the show, I was talking about how I've been thinking about my time in high school, dealing with high school racism and classmates, people who are classmates, and then some of them just went into that white supremacy route. In their journey to finding themselves, this was their solutions to whatever the fuck they were going through. And it was a heartbreaking. It was heartbroken, but I don't know how I felt. I can't describe. I don't know the words I want to use to explain how that made me feel. But it was fucked up, to say the least. We all choose our own path. You know what? I think it's the feeling of losing my childhood innocence. That's what it was. It's like, we're going to be friends forever. So that I'm not saying I lost friends over it, but it was just... Imagine going to being the classmate of George Zimmerman, or what's the name of that cop who killed George Floyd? But going to school and finding out that one of your classmates was a monster, or is a monster. It's just a really don't know, hard to process. But back on the idea of keeping the peace, writing this letter has also had me thinking about how I was the oldest. My parents had two kids, and I was the oldest. And there was this unwritten rule that it was up to me to keep the peace. So if me and my brother were fighting, it didn't fucking matter how it started, what were the details. It was my responsibility to bring that shit to an end. Now, sorry. No, none of it involved me beating the shit out of him. So, okay, you take the blame this time. No, it was nothing like that. So I guess I picked up the habit of shut the fuck up. Whatever cause, even if you're in a situation where you're in the right and he was in the wrong, nope, you squash that shit. You know, it's equivalent to in school where you get in a, imagine you get in a fight. Some kids called you the N-word, or I don't know, or just did something really disrespectful. I understand the sentiment of not bringing up to the point of violence. But I remember looking at these situations is, what is someone supposed to do? Like, oh, talk it out. Remember, I'm in sixth grade. I don't have a lot of words. All I know is it had me thinking of this burden of always keeping the peace. I could be with the most, I'm looking for a word, fucked up individual, the most difficult human being, the most hurt human being, the most toxic human being in the world. God forbid they're Christian. But it was my responsibility, especially as a young Christian boy, to keep the peace. So even at the cost of repressing your own peace, even if it meant repressing your own peace, yes, I'll take the blame for this conflict. Maybe that's why I mean, this is very likely why I avoid people, because I've never learned how to have a conflict with another human being and sort it out and work it out, even in relationships. I'm thinking of Stephen Covey's book, 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, and one of his habits is seek first to understand, then be understood. And I remember first hearing that, and I'm like, damn, that's awesome. So I would try that with people, but I would do it with all the wrong people. And the wrong people are the ones who are like, as soon as you made them feel understood, it was over. There was no other side. There was no your side. It was done. It's like, why are you still talking? You just agreed that I was right. You just agreed that you could understand why you see it that way. I was taught to value peace, but not my own peace. I was trained to absorb, but not to assert. And now I'm unlearning that shit. Groove. So yes, so writing this letter is me getting away from that habit. It's me saying, hey, what just happened was fucked up. Here's my side of the story. Needless to say, what the incident that I'm talking about involves some schism, some racism, some arsism, and so it's going to be touchy. There's a chance that it might get action the way I want. Here's the thing is, I wrote it in a way that, I don't know if it's clear, but it's not about revenge. It's about putting thoughts on papers. It's about sharing my truth, a truth that I'm used to repressing. So it's not easy, gang. It's not easy. I remember when I was preparing for the show, and so usually when I prepare for the show, I tend to make final thoughts, something that's been lingering, feature thoughts, excuse me, lingering in my mind, or I'm feeling emotional about. But I remember feeling this and not knowing how to speak about it without revealing too much or revealing shit that I shouldn't be revealing. And you know what? And I want to be, my intention is not to create suspense. If you're hearing me and all you hear is And I just was create. You're just focused on, well, what's he talking about? So then I failed. It was not my attempt. What I'm trying to talk about the process into writing this shit. It reminds me of, that's what it is. I'm writing something that I know won't be well received, or I'm used to it not being well received. Someone might get in trouble. It's not my fucking problem, but I'm saying someone might get in trouble. No, I'm not writing the Epstein files. But I am thinking about, I remember during my days in Toastmasters, I used to be a member of Toastmasters, the program. If you don't know what it is, Google it. And it's a club for people who want to practice public speaking. For people who want to get better at public speaking. And leadership skills and all that. But I remember the skill I wanted to learn and didn't get a chance to practice is giving a speech to an audience who will not be receptive to what you have to say. Because, you know, I'm a recovering people pleaser and these things are not easy to do. I think of, I forget her name. She was the president of the RIAA. I forget her name. But she was a real villain back in the day. She was the face of shutting down Napster. I just realized that I'm talking about shit that some of you might not know what the fuck I'm talking about. Man, you know what? Nah, your homework for tonight is Google this shit. Napster. But my point is, she was the face of... She was the villain. The recording industry hid behind this woman as she went on stage to talk about, she went in public talking about how, yes, we need to shut down Napster. What you people are doing, it's not sharing, it's stealing. We know you love this product, but we're going to take it away from you because artists are losing money. And she got a lot of hate for it. or how about this? You're the one giving the speech about how, we're going to have to lay off half of you. And you're going to get a lot of anyways, it's never been my favorite place to be. I'm thinking about my, this one time I was laid off from a job and I was thinking about my manager as she was explaining it to me. And one, I didn't take it personal because I was expecting it, but B, I found myself feeling sorry for being on her side of the, I mean, it sucked that I was getting laid off, but I was gonna be okay. But my problem is, I was thinking of, I don't want to be in that situation where I'm the one saying, "Hey, thank you for your 20 years, but we're gonna have to let you go." And you just gotta be honest with the person. There's nothing you can say. Well, A, you can't control how they're gonna respond to it, but all you can do, I guess, is just be honest. Just be honest. It's like, dude, this ain't personal. This is business. Yeah, you got to give that speech. Yeah, I know I wiped out your village, but it wasn't personal. It was business. Last point I'm going to make is, contrary to and this is going to be very unpopular, speaking of saying shit that people won't like, is I've been noticing how I've been using AI throughout the process. Because in my mind, all I can say is, fuck you, fuck him, fuck them, fuck y'all for putting me in this goddamn situation. Like, I can feel my emotion is cluttering my ability. I'm a very emotional person. I'm a highly sensitive person. So it's cluttering my ability to think straight. So it makes the letter writing process a lot more challenging for me. So I just got to put ideas and bullet points and then feed it, and then after say it okay, and then yes, this is what I'm trying to say. You know what doesn't help also in the process is and how AI is a tool is I've gotten so used to what was that one quote about boundaries, the guilt you feel from setting boundaries. The guilt you feel from setting boundaries is a sign of how deeply you were trained to abandon yourself. Oh, yeah. I'm not sure at what age, but I've learned to I blame Christianity on this, but I have learned to, I thought I was being selfless. When the whole that say by Jesus is treat others like you want to be treated. But the loophole or the caveat or the part that was missing is, well, first treat yourself. This applies to people with healthy self-esteem. So I thought shit like turn the other cheek, being selfless, meaning you look yourself in the mirror and tell yourself you ain't shit. You don't matter. The only person that matters on this world is everyone else but yourself. Like I done abandoned myself. So that's why I'm 50 years old and sometimes I'm like, what's that, Lassie? Talking to myself like I'm a dog. What's that, Lassie? You're hungry? Okay, yes, I am hungry. It's like there's a disconnect between who I am. So in order for me to process thoughts and put it out into the world, it's equivalent to, I've been comparing it. It's been equivalent to doing a deep dive in my subconscious. Like it's come on, plonger. Yeah, dive, plonger. I have to like dive into my thoughts, my thoughts, emotion, my soul without a breathing apparatus. And then I grab the jewels, which are my thoughts or what I'm trying to say, and then jump back to the surface, and then boom, those jewels end up being what I'm trying to put on paper. That's how it was like. That's how it's always felt, the writing process for me. It felt suffocating. It was like it was a tough thing to do. But using AI as a tool, it's just been easier. Granted, using too much of it is also dangerous. I get it. Because AI will write, will let you write bullshit. Will let you write stupid shit. I'm like, hey, did you not check? What the fuck? You just made me sound like a bitch. I'm like, well, it's not my fault. You're being a bitch. So this is me imitating AI. But yeah, I guess I'm saying that it's been a fun journey. No, it's been a fun journey using AI. Because I'm like, yes, every once in a while, it will reinterpret what I'm trying to say. And sometimes I'll be like, yo, what the fuck? Trying to be sucking like a punk. And sometimes I'll be like, damn, I didn't realize I was being that extreme. And sometimes that's it. That's what exactly. It's like having a little personal assistant. But yeah, now I said it was a fun process, but nah, it's, the fun part is that I'm unlearning shit. Part of what I'm doing is I'm setting boundaries. It's about self-respect. I'm using a muscle I don't usually use. So that's the discomfort in the process. Still, I'm tempted to write a second letter. Like there's one letter and the second letter is going to be fuck y'all for putting me in this situation. Yeah, and that's what I mean about this complicated letter I need to write to report a bullshit incident. To report an incident that happened. And yeah, the whole process just has me feeling emotional, man. I'm going to stop there. Just say to be continued. In the show notes. Do I have anything worthy to talk about? Anybody want to be poor? Middle East is a colonial term and your Jesus is contaminated. That's a talk about white supremacy. And something about, and a clip by Joshua Neal that just made me laugh. But I also added in the Sydney Sweeney clip, there's an extra clip that I used. And you know what? I'm just going to play it and end with this.
Hey, you want to go to American Eagle?
Oh, I can't go in there because I'm black.
Her name is the Weekly, President Yap. And that's it, gang. Wrap this up. This concludes today's episode. You know, damn, man. I'm at the age where I have to use bigger font. Fuck, I'm that guy now. Website is shutuppodcast.com. Email address is shutuppodcast411@gmail.com. Before I end the show, I want to remind you that this podcast is a safe space for my thoughts and they're protected by the red, the black, and the green with the red, black, and the red, blue.
Rouge et bleu. Rouge et bleu.
I represent and hold it down for black folks who grew up watching TV Ontario and Télé-Québec. Hey, shout out to my fellow black folks who grew up on TV Ontario, Télé-Québec, in Toronto right now, celebrating or taking part in the Caravana festivities. Ding, 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 ding. Yeah, here's hoping you're all having fun. And you're all having fun. And period. Stop. I represent and hold it down for black folks who say yes to Big Rube's question.
Are you an outcast?
This episode was rated R and F. F for Fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff, record label, and as a motherfucking crew. And if you want to be down with Whitey, then fuck you too. This podcast was never meant for you. Thank you for listening. And remember, please be kind to your favorite podcast. All right. Peace.